السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، تبارک الذی بیدہ الملک وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور صدق الله العظيم. The Taraweeh in this masjid last night, we commenced with Surah Al-Mulk. Now I'm not going into all the virtues and all the other aspects. We don't have the time in the morning for all that. However, the important point is this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that it is in His hands. I'm just giving you the meaning, not the translation. Just the meaning, the gist. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that it is in His hands. Dominion, sovereignty, power, all that is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. He is the one who gives kingdom. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who gives dominion. He is the one who gives sovereignty. He is the one who gives some kind of power to whomsoever He wills. And in His hikmat, His wisdom, He decides. We can have no hand in that decision. All we have to do is our actions and our deeds. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is informing us that بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has power over all things. And then Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He who has created death and life. So the question is, what came first? Life came first or death came first? It's obvious that the person first has to live, then death will come. If there was no life, how will death come? But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, khalaqal maut. First He mentions maut, death, and then He mentions life. So Hazrat Arif Billah Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, when he was reading his tafsir by Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, same question he asked, what came first? Death or life? So we all know that first comes life, then comes death. So why does Allah Ta'ala then mention death first? The person who will have his death before him, then his life will come right. Because the person who does not have his death before him, his life will not be right. The person who has got no understanding or no concept or no belief in a life after death, the person who doesn't have any kind of belief in a day of judgment, then nothing there to restrain him from engaging in all kinds of vices and sins and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. The disbelievers, they don't believe in the Akhirat, they don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Therefore, at the most, some people will say, well, you must be good human beings, meaning that you mustn't cause any kind of harm to any human beings, that's about all. But they don't have any kind of a firm belief in the Akhirat. So therefore, when there's temptation towards adultery, fornication, and all other kinds of thing, then at that time that belief is all gone. Because only the person who believes that there's an Akhirat, there's a hereafter, there's a Day of Judgment, then he has that resistance power from all evil and from all things that are prohibited. That person can restrain himself. Otherwise, people will look around. Is the police watching? Are the cameras there? So many people don't steal in supermarkets, not because of their iman yaqeen or their great belief in the Akhirat or Day of Judgment. Generally, the disbelievers and many, many Muslims also, they don't go to a supermarket and steal because there's a big notice there. Smile, you are now on camera. So first they put a big smile and after that they say, well, we cannot do much here because we are on camera. So they walk away. But even they, if they think that their camera is not working, not functioning, or there is somebody that is also working hand in hand from inside the supermarket with him, then he's not going to even bother about the camera. So, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ يَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Again, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not talking about the quantity that, I'm just giving you, as I said, the meaning and the gist. That he's not talking about the quantity, that how much you do, he wants to test you with regards to that. How much of nafil salat you made, how much of tilawat you made, how much of zikr you made, all the nafil, all the optional fast, how many you kept. That is not what Allah Ta'ala wants to see, the quantity, how much you did. He wants to see how good is that amal that you made. Allah Ta'ala wants to see the best. In everything we want to have the best. We must have the best car, the best home, the best shoes, the best clothes. In everything we want the best. So in our amal, in our actions also, we should endeavor to have the best. Even though the quantity may not be so much, but the quality has to be the best. Don't we say that, never mind, even if you get a little, but we want good quality. The person goes to the supermarket, and there's pockets of onions and potatoes, but they're half rotten. So then he says, no, I'm getting visitors. I can't be cooking rotten potatoes and onions. He says, no, but take this. I've got big quantity. I'm giving you for fraction of the price of good quality. He said, whatever it may be, but we want good quality. So like that, in amal and actions also, there must be quality. Allah Ta'ala wants to see the quality. The best. Therefore, the tafsir Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made himself of liyabluwakum. One tafsir we make, we can make tafsir provided the person is a mufassir. He has the knowledge of the Quran, he has the knowledge of Arabic, he has the knowledge of the different sciences. Tafsir of the Quran Sharif is not that you just pick up the Quran Sharif and give you whatever comes to mind just because we have read some English translation. If a person has to just take up any English translation or take a book on medicine in English and then start operating according to that book, what will happen to the patients? So there are lots of ayat and verses of the Quran Sharif with regards to nations of the past and with regards to akhlaq, our character, our behavior and many, many other things. All those things, read and make amal. But those things which are beyond our understanding, so then we have to refer to those who are experts in that field. But in any case, tafsir has been made and volumes have been written by different mufassirin. One great alim, he said, was there in a park in America, sitting in one of the parks. So after a little while, a person went past, he was jogging. So he had his shorts, his knicker he wore. He didn't have any shirt on. But seeing this ulama in a group sitting there early morning in the park, breathing in some fresh air. So he stopped there. And he says, where do you come from? And I'm also a very learned person. And at present I'm writing one tafsir. So must make dua. Like that is going to be the mufassir of the time. So you can expect some noor in that tafsir. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes the tafsir of this ayat himself. Ayyukum ahsanu amala. The first tafsir that is made, ayyukum atammu aqlan wa fahman. First thing Allah Ta'ala wants to see that which one of you is perfect in his aqal and understanding. His intelligence, his understanding, his fahm. Who is perfect in that? Meaning that the person who has got perfect aqal and perfect fahm, he will keep his death before him in this world and then make amal. This person will then not be a lazy person. We think that if you follow Islam and Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, then you must become a lazy person. That's not lazy. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. Their life was full of activity. They were mujahids. They were not lazy. They had their akhirat in front of them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, na'uzu billah, didn't have akhirat in front of him. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't have death in front of him. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the Khulafa-i Rashidin. Look at Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He never used to tear more on any other thing than when he used to see a grave. His beard used to get wet with his tears. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and read his life, we talk about the glorious era of Islam. Look at his life. How concerned he was about the Akhirat. But yet he was ruling over more than 2/3 of the then known world. Look at the territory that he was ruling over. He was Amirul Mu'mineen. It was not that he became lazy and went to sleep all the time, and that he couldn't do anything of this world. They did everything. They ran governments. They were in the field of education, in welfare and social, in everything they were there. Very, very active. But they had Akhirat in front of them. That we are answerable. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will ask us. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on an extremely hot day, says it was so hot, nobody could even come outside. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going outside searching for something. Somebody asks him, "Oh Umar, this part of the day, extremely hot in the afternoon, what are you searching for?" He says, "No, I'm searching for a camel of the Baitul Mal which went astray somewhere." Baitul Mal, one camel went somewhere, I'm searching for it. He said, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, you could have appointed somebody else. You could have sent somebody else to search for it." Qiyamah Day Allah Ta'ala will ask Umar, "You are Amirul Mu'mineen. Where did this Baitul Mal camel go?" And look at our state with funds of organizations, funds of societies, funds of madrasas, funds of masajid, funds of the orphans, funds of the destitute, yatama, masakin. What do we do with those funds? And here one camel, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going to search for it. So many incidents. But the point here is that they had Akhirat in front of them. But that did not make them lazy. That did not make them neglect their responsibility, their obligation to the society, to the family and to everybody else. So the person who's got kamil aqal, the person who's got complete intelligence, full intelligence, so he will do everything according to the Quran and Sunnah, pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he will remember that there is a day of judgment. So first thing, ayyukum ahsanu amala, ayyukum atammu aqlan wa fahman. The second thing is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this ayyukum, Allah Ta'ala has sent you here for what? Why did He create this mouth and hayat? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to test you. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala linabluwakum. Now this is the tafsir of linabluwakum that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to test you, that ayyukum awra'u an maharimillahi ta'ala. That which one of you is the one that stays away most from those things that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. That is the meaning of it. Allah Ta'ala wants to test that who is it that stays away most from all that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. And many times I have said that go across the board. Look at everything that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. It is either injurious and damaging to the person's own health, his own body, his own self, or his family, or the society. That is what Allah Ta'ala has made haram. Nothing there is that Allah Ta'ala has made haram, which could have been very useful and very beneficial for man. So Allah Ta'ala wants to see who stays away from that. And that is the haqiqat of haya also. So Allah Ta'ala wants to see that who stays away most from what He has declared as haram. Because this is a world of tests. If there was no test and no trial and no temptation, then there was no question of taqwa also. The whole taqwa is dependent on these tests, that when the person restrains himself, believing that there is an akhirat, there is a day of judgment, and Allah Ta'ala is watching, so then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also rewards him with taqwa. And Allah Ta'ala then gives him all the benefits of taqwa. So that is the second tafsir that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made himself. And the third tafsir of linabluwakum, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that, so that Allah Ta'ala may test you that ayyukum asrahu ila ta'atillah, that which one of you is the speediest, as we may say, towards the obedience of Allah Ta'ala in the fulfillment of the commands of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which person is the speediest? Whatever is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then he doesn't look back. He fulfills that command of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is with regards to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, whether it is with regards to his trade and business deals, whether it's regards to his relationship with his wife, with his children, with his family, with his neighbors, with his society. That is Islam. It covers all aspects of our life. And if that person is in government, if the person is in a cabinet, if he's in the parliament, or if the person is the king of the time or is a ruler, then whatever is the command of Allah Ta'ala with regards to that position that he is holding, then he is hasty, he is speedy in fulfilling that command of Allah Ta'ala. So to keep the mouth in front, the person has to do that. Why? So that his life may come right. That the person knows that finally everybody will just take him and put him in the grave and they will disappear. And it will be only his actions that will accompany him. It will be as if the person who has been put into the grave will be saying, as if he will be saying, Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele hi chale jayenge hum. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele hi chale jayenge hum. That is what they will do. They'll leave the person alone and go. It will be his deeds, his actions that will accompany him. So the person who will keep his mouth in front of him, then his hayat will come right. Now he will be cautious. He will be careful. He will be alert. Shaitan and nafs will not devour him, not make him a morsel. So لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Aziz, Allah Ta'ala sifat, that nothing in this world can make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala helpless. Allah Ta'ala is exalted in might. Nothing in this world, no power can make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala helpless. In the isti'mal of His Qudrat, in the usage of His power and Qudrat, nobody can make Him helpless. There are lots of governments of the world, they call themselves, even if they call themselves superpowers, but they don't even have the strength to go and bombard one country until they have a whole coalition of forces, as they say. But they call themselves superpower. But first they'll go and find logistical support from everywhere. Military support, this support, that support. Then they will bribe the people with dollars and pounds and all that. And then after that, then they go and bombard. That's their power. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there's nothing that can stop him from using his Qudrat. But then immediately Allah Ta'ala says Ghafoor also, that he is very, very forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving. That means his Qudrat is there. If he wanted to punish, he can punish us over every little mistake of ours. He can shake the ground beneath our feet and pull the carpet from underneath us whenever he wishes. But Allah Ta'ala is not like that. Although he's got that power, that might, he's exalted in status. But Allah Ta'ala is so Ghafoor, so forgiving, so forgiving, so forgiving, that no matter how far you may have gone, but if the person sincerely turns towards Him, sincere tawbah and repentance, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the person. That means His forgiveness is not because He is weak. Because a weak person also, if somebody very strong and powerful and is a heavyweight, and this other person is thin and weak. Now the heavyweight did something that irritated and agitated this weak person. So the weak person, does he have the strength to tell him that I'll punch you in the nose too. I'll give you an uppercut in the lower jaw. Because he knows that one shot and he'll get flattened. So now that kind of maafi and that kind of forgiveness is not really of great worth. But the person who is strong, who's powerful, and who's got the strength, and who's got the power, if he says, I forgive you, and he tells the one who is weak, I forgive you. So the person will appreciate that this person could have given me one tight shot, but he forgave me. So Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor, is very, very forgiving. So now we have a few hours left. We shouldn't even count days and nights now. It's just hours for Ramadan left. This 2-3 days, how long does it take to go nowadays? So let us make the best, turn towards Allah Ta'ala. We don't say stay awake all night and whole day fast. Keep the fast, stay a little bit awake, make some istighfar, some tawbah, some dua. But fill up this heart with the noor and with the rahmat and the barakat of the remaining days. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal. And may He protect us and save us from the temptations of nafs and shaitan and remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe and of mankind.